sons of Malcolm. It has been almost 40 years since the assassination of Malcolm X, and the influence of the black nationalist leader continues to grow, particularly among generations that were not alive when he was in the thick of his advocacy. While some of this is no doubt due to the powerful film done by the black filmmaker Spike Lee, it's also true that the writings of Malcolm X continue to be read, as does the popular autobiography penned by the late Alex Haley. One particularly remarkable example of the continuing influence of Malcolm X may be seen in the recent case of the young man John Walker Lynn, who came to be known derisively as Johnny Taliban. Lynn, who converted to Islam and went to live and fight among the Taliban government in Afghanistan, traced his Islamization to his reading of the Alex Haley work. Among the so-called hip-hop generation too, the imagery of Malcolm, as shown by the reproduction of photos of the slain leader adorning some rap albums, or imitations of famous poses adopted by some rappers as covers for their own albums, can be seen. Students of the Black Panther Party should know that the organization perceived itself, in its earliest days, as a realization of the deeply held dreams of the late Muslim leader. BPP founder Huey P. Newton would later write, quote, "Although Malcolm's program for the Organization of Afro-American Unity was never put into operation, he has made it clear that blacks ought to arm. Malcolm's influence was ever present. We continue to believe that the Black Panther Party exists in the spirit of Malcolm, ever present," unquote. Today, as Malcolm's life is performed on screen by the brilliant Denzel Washington, and the U.S. Postal Service has even issued a stamp in his honor, much of Malcolm's experience as a dissident is lost in Time's translation. The government that now speaks his name with praise once saw him as its greatest threat. Everywhere Malcolm spoke, there too were the spooks from the FBI, writing down notes or taping his speeches. Although they labeled him as a hate monger, it was clear that it was the government that used its awesome powers to act on their hatred against black Americans, and particularly those black leaders and spokespersons who opposed the repressive status quo. Consider the tone of his FBI file of March 13, 1963, which records his speech in Charlotte, North Carolina. Quote, "Hearing the actual speech of Malcolm X enables the listener to discover the type of argument and logic employed by a hate peddler. The resulting effect is clearly heard in the background of this particular tape. Bureau deletion. The listener can hear audience reaction in the background as Malcolm X stimulates his listeners to the release of their prejudices, grievances, and wishes. Some of the content of the tape underlines the inhibitions and repressed attitudes of a segment of Negroes in general and of Charlotte Negroes in particular. These bitternesses are easily identified on the tape through crowd outbursts as Malcolm X underlines some of the causes of Negro unrest. This taped speech, Bureau deletion, shows clearly how Malcolm X unites the individuals into an emotional entity, how he achieves rapport, reaches common understanding and responsiveness as he fuses individuals into a unit. He continually throws irritants into an atmosphere of growing disapproval of the white race. Malcolm X uses his skill as a speaker to direct emotions and hatreds of his audience toward white people whom he sets up as a scapegoat for Negroes, described by him as a people severed from their racial heritage," unquote. That's from the book Malcolm X, The FBI File by Claiborne Carson. Lest anyone dare to suggest that Malcolm's nationalist ideas were the reasons for this official attack on him, we are reminded that this same agency, less than 6 months later, would, in the words of the deputy director and one-time heir apparent to Hoover, William Sullivan, mock the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as, quote, "the most dangerous Negro in the future of this nation," unquote. That's from Ward Churchill and Jim Vanderwall's The COINTELPRO Papers. Was King, too, a hate peddler? Hardly. Both Mrs. X and King were organizers of their people. They were thus deemed enemies of the state, and every phone call, every letter, every room they frequented was under the electronic and human eyes of U.S. government spies. The issue wasn't either of these men. It was the black movement. Because the FBI was concerned about preserving white supremacy, anyone who wanted to organize black people to resist their repression was deemed an enemy and targeted for their political actions and ideological beliefs. It's good to remember Malcolm for the positive lessons that continues to radiate from his life. It is also good to remember that this government opposed him and his colleagues, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, for example, using every resource, fair and foul, to destroy them and their movements. Next time you see a stamp, remember. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.